Well, good morning, everyone. It is great to be here this morning. Looks like the rain has stopped for a little while, but I tell you, it is—it's a blessing to be here, as Brother Bill said this morning, to worship our God and our King, and just to be here together and to fellowship and. You know, and just to enjoy one another's company, regardless of the weather outside and regardless of whether or not it's raining or the sun's shining. The sun is shining in here. The Son of God is shining on each one of us. And we can celebrate our salvation. You know, this is a time of a lot of celebrations, whether it's graduation or weddings. And I was told that we have not only the prince or king, or, you know, the guy in England that, you know, may or may not. And we've got the Josh and Chelsea's wedding coming up at the end of this week. But help me if I get the name, the hold on, Malecha Malikas are here with us, newlyweds. He's been visiting with us on Wednesday evenings, and finally this fiance / now wife we get to meet. So you guys meet. Say the last name, I always mispronounce it. Malikas are with us today, so you guys get to meet them and congratulate them on their recent wedding. But it is it's a time of celebration, and we get to celebrate our salvation every day. And this morning we get to do that on purpose, and we get to do that together. And this morning we're going to talk about this as we go through this Google Earth look at the book of James, where we're zooming in on portions of the Bible's this big picture. And so often we get lost in the big picture. We don't understand that the Bible is all about you and I. It's all about us finding ourselves in this story. And so as we look at the book of James in particular, and we zoom in on certain spots and we find ourselves there, we're going to look this morning at profiting from our problems. You know, one of the things that I appreciate about Highland Hills and the prayers that we pray is that so often, it's not just these canned, things that we've always heard prayer. And I so appreciate, Colin's prayer this morning that we live in this free market society, that we have the opportunity to better ourselves, whether it's, socially or civically, economically, financially, all the ways that we can better ourselves, all the ways that we can climb up in our society. And I also pray that God will restore the economy that we live under. But a lot of our country is built on, how can I profit from this? How can I, how can I make a dime off of what's going on? Whatever it is that's happening, there's so many opportunities to gain from that. And that's a good thing. Now, on the other side of that, a lot of times greed sort of takes over and it takes a good thing and makes it a bad thing. But this morning, we're going to take a bad thing, our problems, and we're going to make them good. We're going to learn from Scripture how God wants us to make a profit, how God wants us to increase our standing spiritually by all the problems. You know, there's some severe flooding going on in Nashville right now. There's people that are losing a lot of their stuff, their homes, properties being damaged. But on the other side of that, there's going to be some contractors that are going to get some work out of this. Roofing contractors are going to have a whole lot of work going on, and they're going to profit from this, and that's okay. But there's a horrible problem going on, but no doubt drywall contractors in Nashville are going to have a whole lot of business from this. The car dealers, once they get new cars in that aren't flooded, are going to have a whole lot of business from this, because there's a lot of vehicles that were flooded out, and people are going to get insurance settlements from that. And so car dealers they're going to profit from that. And that's not a bad thing. But you see, if all we look at are the problems that come, and the rain that falls and the floods that rise, we'll never see the glory of God that and the good that comes out of that. This morning, we're going to look at that. You see, Jesus says in the Bible that rain falls on the just and the unjust. Floods come to those, you know, he tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, there's a wise man that built their house upon the rock. There's a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. Guess what happened to both of them? They both got flooded out. One profited in the problems and one was washed away. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 1. Starting in verse 2 and going through verse 8, we're going to look at what it looks like and how God has specifically designed and enabled us to make good out of the bad and to profit in our problems. We're going to first look at four facts of life that we need to know. You know, there was a show in the early, late 80s, whenever it was called The Facts of Life, and the theme song, you know, you take the good, you take the bad, you take it all, and there you have the facts of life. Now y'all can sing, you take the good, you take the sing. No, I'm just kidding. You remember Tootie and Natalie and Blair and all them and the all the hijinks and mayhem that went along with the facts of life. And we're going to look at four specific facts that God wants us to know. Look in your Bibles in verse 2 in James chapter 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If anyone of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. From Scripture, the first fact of life that we have to wrap our minds around and get real comfortable with, if we're ever going to profit from all of the problems that come our way, if we're ever going to find ways to better ourselves in the floods of life, the first thing that we have to understand is that the Bible says that our problems are inevitable. He says there in verse 2, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. And the word there, whenever, it has a haphazard kind of connotation to it. He's saying that there are times in life that regardless of what you are doing, you are going to face trials of all kinds. Whenever you face trials. You see, there are times in my life when I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. I'm studying like I'm supposed to study. I'm picking up my room like I'm supposed to pick up my room. I'm listening to my parents. I'm doing what my boss says. I'm getting to work on time. I'm paying my taxes. I'm feeding the dog. I'm mowing my grass. I'm doing everything right. And I turn around and things just start crumbling. Relationships that I've been investing all of my energy, all of my soul, all of my love in, and they just start to fall apart. People decide to do things that devastate me regardless of how good a friend I am. See, there's what he's saying here, whenever you face trials, he's saying that there, no matter what you do, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether you are the person you're supposed to be, there's just this inevitability of problems that come along. And sometimes we sit and we spend a whole lot of time. We spend a whole lot of energy. I mean, we burn all kinds of gunpowder on thinking that this just isn't fair. You know, it's just not fair. I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. I did my part and still this happened. It's just not fair. And that's a big waste of time. You know, I tell my kids, we have a saying at our house that I use sometimes that, you know, when they say something like, well, they got to do this and I didn't get to do that, or, you know, that's just not fair. And I tell them, well, you might as well have said that's not brown, because that doesn't make any sense, does it? To say that this circumstance isn't this color or that color, that wouldn't make any sense, would it? Well, you might as well say that, because to say this isn't fair, that doesn't make any sense. You see, fairness, church, is a myth. Fair doesn't exist. There is no such thing in this world as fair. So as soon as we wrap our minds around problems are inevitable. Problems aren't fair. Problems have nothing to do with whether or not I deserve it or I'm doing what I'm supposed to. Problems are inevitable. The first fact we need to wrap our mind around if we're going to profit in this. Problems are unpredictable. He says, whenever you fall into trials, you know, the NIV does a decent job of translating this. It says, whenever you face trials of many kinds, and the wording there is it's a little more, like I said, it's a little more haphazard than just whenever you face. It's really when you stumble into or fall into trials. You see, not only are they inevitable, but they're unpredictable. Like I've illustrated already, is that regardless of what we are doing, regardless of the life that we are living, there's no way to look down the road and see all of the landmines that the enemy has planted. You don't have to go very far in the newspaper or watch the news very long to hear about these terror attacks over against our soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq. And these terrorist attacks come in the form of these IEDs, these improvised explosive devices. And see, our soldiers, our men and women over in Iraq and Afghanistan, guys, they've got some of the most sophisticated gadgets you'll ever hear. I mean, movies can't do justice to some of the technology that they have over there. And they can't find these all the time. Oh, they can find some of them. They can see some. I mean, they're and it's usually, you know, kind of they find them because they see a wire going into some place or they see something that kind of looks suspicious. But so often these IEDs, they're disguised as just ordinary, average, everyday, supposed to be there kind of things. And a convoy will roll through, and the second Humvee will get blown away. They never saw it coming. Unpredictable. There's sometimes they think, oh, that looks suspicious. They go over, they check it out, it's nothing. And sometimes they roll right by something that kills two or three people. I mean, with the most sophisticated technology in the world, we've got satellites up in space that can take a picture of a dollar bill, on the side of the road and tell you what date's on it. We got some technology. We can't predict what a terrorist with zero formal education can put on the side of the road to kill soldiers just trying to give them a better life, trying to free them from tyranny. And we think that we can predict the situations that are going to happen in our life, good or bad. When we wrap our minds around the unpredictability of the problems that we face, we'll be well on our way to profiting from the issues and the floods and the rains that come our way, good or bad. The number three thing that we need to understand, the number three fact of life, is that problems are wide-ranging. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you fall into or face trials of many kinds. And the understanding here, you don't have to be a linguist to get it, that there are many and multiple and all kinds of varying degrees of issues that we're going to face. No matter how we live, we need to understand that first and foremost, the problems are going to happen. And they're not just something, we don't need to just gear ourselves toward one specific issue, one specific problem. We don't need to just really prepare ourselves for one certain thing. We need to understand that regardless of how we live, problems are going to come in many forms. They're going to be hidden in many different ways. The problems that we face are wide-ranging. And the number four thing, and the best thing, and the reality that's so hard to grasp is that our problems are purposeful. He says, because you know that the testing of your faith develops. Let's just stop right there. Regardless of what it develops, unless we understand that God has a plan. God didn't cause the problem that we're facing. God didn't cause the issue. And let me say that one more time so that we can be a church that Highland Hills can be a congregation of people who understand and live our lives and go throughout the rest of our days giving God exactly what He deserves, and that's praise and glory and not blame. See, God didn't cause the brokenness that we face. God didn't cause the problem, but God uses them. God shows that He is sovereign even in our brokenness, because He takes the problems that we face and He uses them to develop, to grow, to move us towards His righteous purpose for our life. You see, we can have the right attitude. Remember, faith is about our attitude. Faith is about the perspective with which we come to God, and our faith will be what God wants it to be and what God needs it to be if we understand that whatever we are facing, as multiple, as inevitable, as many as they might be, there's a purpose for them. And see, the purposes of our problems are that they purify our faith. He goes on to say that the testing or the trying, he says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trial, because the testing of your faith, the trying of your faith, if you got your Bibles, turn on over one book to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, and he says, praise be to the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ. In this great mercy, He's given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that's ready to be revealed in this time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. You see, Peter understood what James was talking about. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ comes and is revealed. You see, the problems, the purpose of these problems that we have, they purify our faith. Peter says it's just like gold. You see, you take this precious metal, and in this precious metal, there's all of these there's all of these impurities. There's all these things that make it less precious. And you put it in this fire, and you turn the heat up, and all of the impurities burn away, and they're removed from the preciousness. But it's only by that fire, it's only by the difficulty that the precious metal faces, that these impurities are burned away. James also tells us that problems fortify our patience. He says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance or patience. And this perseverance must finish its work. It's like what he says in Colossians chapter 1, what Paul says to the church there in verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who qualified you to share in His inheritance. You see, this life that we are living requires us to have this measure of patience, this measure of perseverance, this stick-to-itiveness, where we can stick and stay, where we can continue on the path that God has laid out for us, regardless of the issues that come along, regardless of the problems that crop up. Isn't that what Jesus says when He says in John that if you remain in Me, as I am in the Father, I will remain in you. It's that Greek word, may know. If you may know, if you hang on there, if you hold on to this faith, because who hasn't experienced issues that cause us to doubt God's very existence? Who among us has not experienced something in our life that makes us wonder if there really is a God, and if He's there, does He even give a rip about me? I doubt there's anyone. You see, if we understand the purpose of the issues we face. It fortifies and it strengthens this perseverance, and then it sanctifies my character. He says it'll make you mature, complete, not lacking in anything. And what he means is that we'll be ready. I mean, when you're mature, when your character is sanctified, when everything is, you know, all of the things that would pull us from God are removed from our life, then we're mature, then we're ready to face even greater issues and able to take on bigger challenges. You see, God's number one purpose for our life, all of the problems that we face, all of the issues that come along, all of the brokenness that we encounter, one purpose is to make us more like Christ. You see, when you read through the book of James, when you get this, you draw back and you get this satellite image of the whole thing, it looks a whole lot like Jesus. Then when you zoom in, you see how you get there. So how do we handle these things? How do we handle the problems? How do on a Tuesday afternoon when I'm just walking along and all of a sudden something blows up and I didn't even see it coming and I wasn't even prepared and I thought it was going to be something else, but it came in a form or in a shape that I wasn't quite ready for. What's the number one thing that we do to handle our problems? James says, rejoice. You know, we've got to be some prison singers. Isn't that what Paul and Silas did when they're imprisoned for their faith, when they're out and they're just doing what God wanted them to do, and they're thrown in jail for that? They're rejoicing and they're praising God at midnight. They had no idea if they were going to be killed, beheaded, tortured the next day, and they're singing and praising God. You see, consider it pure joy when you face these trials, because they're opportunities to bring glory to God. They're opportunities to say to Satan, "You won't get me with that one. It's not going to be this problem, God. It's not going to be this problem, Satan, that takes my faith. So try something new." He says if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. The second thing we do to handle our problems is pray. Request. We rejoice in the opportunity to glorify God. Then we request His help and not request, "God, take this away," because that's not going to happen. Because like I said, God didn't cause this. He's not going to fix it right now. There's going to be a day when it's all going to get fixed. But He says, in the meantime, request wisdom. Pray for wisdom. We pray for a lot of things. Is wisdom one of them? And the last thing that we have to do is just relax. Just relax. He says, but when you ask, believe and not doubt. Believe and not doubt. What he's saying is that when you're in the middle of this problem, when you pray, you recognize your attitude is that of rejoicing and realizing, I get an opportunity to see God working. And God, I need wisdom to make it through this, to see and to respond the way you want me to. And trust that that's going to happen. Don't worry about it anymore. Just relax. We can read a lot of things in the book of James, and we're going to get to talking about taming the tongue. We're going to get to talking about putting faith into action and what that looks like. We're going to get to talking about, you know, all kinds of things, submitting ourselves. I will tell you this, when you ask, believe and do not doubt is the one thing that we will struggle with the most as God's people. That's the one thing that we'll struggle with the most. That's the hardest thing for us to do. So this morning, I want to ask you, do you want to profit from the rain? Do you want to grow in the middle of the floods? We can. God has given us the ability. He has enabled us to rise above all of the issues that we face. He hasn't removed all of the problems, but He has removed the destructive nature of those problems for us. And unlike the rest of the world, we can profit from all of the brokenness. We can have a faith that's purified. We can have a patience that's fortified, and we can have a purpose in our life and a character that's like Christ if we'll approach it in a godly way. This morning, you might be having problems of many kinds. Inevitable problems that you didn't see coming. I'm telling you, lean on God. Trust Him. Rejoice in the problems. Request His wisdom. And relax that He will see you through this. Whatever your need is this morning, would you let us know as together we stand and as we sing.